You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to listen to the newest episodes on your way to work or back home through rush hour traffic. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com. And as always, I'd like to start off every episode with a big thank you and welcome to all of our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. Whether it's your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And for today's episode, we'll take a look at and review the Saints 2018 defensive line performance with a special look at Marcus Davenport's rookie season as requested by listener at Phil's Take on Twitter. And then we'll close out the show by answering some questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group for our Monday mailbag. You can join that group by logging on to Facebook and searching Locked On Saints group. Get in there so that you can take part in the mailbags as well as other live events I have planned for throughout the offseason, including live mock drafts and live Q&A. So we've got all that and a little bit of lanyap waiting for you right here in today's edition of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, so as a unit, the Saints defensive line helped lead the way for the Saints defense to be ranked second in the NFL in run defense, allowing only 80.2 yards per game. That same unit allowed only 12 rushing touchdowns and 3.6 yards per carry in the run game. They also had 49 sacks in the regular season, tied for fifth most in the league, though that includes some contribution from the second level and secondary, of course, but they were unfortunately not able to carry that success over into the playoffs, being one of only two of the teams to play two playoff games but not total more than one sack. Altogether, though, the Saints defensive line had an outstanding season and the unit was heavily considered one of the most feared in the league. So let's go ahead and take a look at the individual efforts from some of the top players along the line. We have to start, of course, with Cameron Jordan, leader on that defensive line. 2018 stats include 49 total tackles, 18 for a loss, 66 total pressures, that includes 12 sacks, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovered as well. Cam Jordan was only four pass defenses away from his second straight triple-double in the season. That would be double digits in sacks, tackles for a loss, and passes defended, but still a successful season, affecting the quarterback more than 60 times for the fifth time in his eight-season career and notching his fourth double-digit sack season in as much time as well. He also notched two sacks in three straight games, so two in each of those three in weeks 11, 12, and 13. Jordan ranked among the best edge rushers in the league, rating as the sixth best per Pro Football Focus with an 89.7 overall grade, while simultaneously gathering the fourth best run defense grade in his position out of 186 eligible players. I'd not be surprised to see the Saints extend their defensive leader's contract within the next year. I'd really love to see them do it this offseason. Being that he enters his contract year in 2020, doing so this offseason would help spread his 2009 $14 million cap hit out a little bit if they get him for a couple more seasons and extend him through. Cam continues to be one of the best players in the black and gold and a vocal leader for the team and throughout the league as well, never being afraid to speak his mind while backing himself up with his play on the field. Let's jump over to the other end, starting defensive end Alex Okafor. 2018 stats include 36 total tackles, five of which for a loss, 39 total pressures, four sacks, and one fumble recovered. Okafor returned from 2017's Achilles injury sooner than it was expected. He started all 16 games for the Saints in 2018. The former Arizona Cardinal will be a free agent this offseason as his contract has been voided, which was a stipulation allowed if he secured more than a certain number of sacks in 2018. I believe it was three. Okafor continued his trend from 2017, also being a solid run defender while contributing 19 defensive stops throughout the season and scoring his second straight 70-plus run defense grade from Pro Football Focus. With Marcus Davenport having as good good a rookie season as he did, losing Okafor to free agency wouldn't be the end of the world, but the Saints will likely look for another rotational piece to come off of the edge. All right, so let's go ahead and skip into the defensive interior. We'll start off with Sheldon Rankins. Remember, we're going to come back to Marcus Davenport after the break. We got a whole segment dedicated to him today. So let's look at Sheldon Rankins' 2018 stats, which included 40 total tackles, 12 for a loss, 46 total pressures. 46 total pressures. By the way, I had to stop for a second and like double check that number because I thought it was false. But from the interior line, 46 total pressures, 8 sacks, 1 fumble force. Rankins had a breakout season, which was expected in 2018, totaling more sacks this season than in 2016 and 17 combined. Started all 16 games during the regular season for the second year in a row and stacking up an 81.8 total defense grade from Pro Football Focus, including a coverage grade of 67.1, which might sound like a little bit of a joke, but remember, Rankins is the one that made the play that essentially sealed the number one seed for New Orleans in week 16 when he forced a fumble on Juju Smith-Schuster when he dropped back into coverage. He also broke up a pass against Tampa Bay in week 14 that was stupid clean as well. Rankins, of course, tore his Achilles in the divisional round and will miss a good chunk of time in the early part of 2019. But remember, Alex Okafor, who we just talked about, came back from that very same injury to produce in 2018, and Rankins made good on missing the top of his rookie season, knocking down 4 sacks in his 2016, which came with limited availability after his broken leg out of Louisville. When he does return, he'll continue to be a factor and contribute to one of the best run defenses in the league, and also as one of the best pass rushing units in the league as well. David Onyemata is next on our list here. 2018 stats include 35 tackles, 4 for a loss, 31 total pressures, 4.5 sacks, 1 fumble force. Onyemata also broke out this past season, his third in the league. He was a solid run defender, piling on 24 defensive stops as well and scoring a 76.5 run defense grade from Pro Football Focus. His 83.5 overall defensive grade was fifth best amongst interior defenders drafted in 2016. Not bad for a guy who, you know, didn't really start playing football at all until really college, but you could say high school. Also worth noting that Onyemata has played every single game his 3 seasons with the Saints, not as a starter, but he's seen action in all 48 regular season games in which he's been eligible for since the draft. It's expected that he'll probably miss the first couple of games in 2019, as we all know, because of his, he wasn't really arrested, but the charges that he faced for marijuana possession after his apartment was searched by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. And to wrap us up here, we'll take a quick look at Taylor Stallworth and Tyler Davison. Taylor Stallworth's 2018 stats included 8 total tackles, one for a loss, 4 pressures, 1 sack, and 1 fumble recovery. Tyler Davison's 2018 stats included 23 total tackles, 2 for a loss, 11 total pressures, 2 sacks, and a fumble force. When it comes to Stallworth, he had a great rookie season, especially as an undrafted rookie who notched his 5 tackles and a quarterback hit in the playoffs as well. His 73.1 tackle grade in Pro Football Focus actually ranked him as the 6th person amongst rookie interior defenders. His 2018 play will be remembered for his effect as a run stopper and helping the Saints maintain dominance in that element despite the loss of Sheldon Rankins in the playoffs, helping the unit lock up the Eagles for only 47 rushing yards and in the divisional round, and holding the Rams in the conference championship to only 77. As for Davison, who's a free agent this offseason, he was another important part of the Saints' run defense and rotation within the interior. His contributions were also very important for New Orleans maintaining that second-ranked run defense throughout the 2018 season. Davison should be a piece that New Orleans wants to hold on to, especially with Rankins and Onyemata set to miss time in 2019, so expect them to try to get him back for that 2019 season. All right, so we'll go to break here, and then when we come back, we'll take a look at a deep dive into Marcus Davenport's rookie season. The Saints traded away this year's first round pick in order to jump from 27 to 14 in last year's draft to select the University of Texas San Antonio edge rusher. How is the move looking so far? We'll take a look and discuss that next right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Hood Up Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Don't forget, you can tell your smart device in your car to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune into the newest episodes, whether you're on your commute to work, on your way back home, through traffic, whatever it is. You can always keep up with the podcast while in your car. We are here now to talk about Marcus Davenport and how his rookie season looked for the Saints. Now, a lot of what you're going to get here is my opinion. If you differ, or even if you agree and you want to add some more, feel free to join into the conversation by either joining the Locked On Saints Facebook group over on Facebook, or just by hitting me up on Twitter at RushJacksonASC. So let's take a look at how the Marcus Davenport experiment is working so far. And really, I wouldn't even call him an experiment. I'd call him a pretty sure thing, or at least he's looking to be shaping up that way. So, but let me not spoil it here. So let's take a look at the 2018 stats. 22 total tackles. That's fun to say. 6 tackles for a loss, 28 total pressures, 4.5 sacks, and 1 fumble forced his rookie season. Now, let's look specifically at Davenport as an edge rusher and as a pass rusher first, as that was the intent in drafting him. The Saints felt like they were one piece away, and that was adding another edge rusher or another pass rusher to the team. That was one of the reasons why Davenport was the guy the entire time. So let's take a look at him as a pass rusher first. According to Pro Football Focus, his pass rush grade was a 63.6. That puts him 72nd out of 186 total eligible pass rushers. That's regardless of number of snaps, regardless of year drafted, all of that. If you narrow it down to snaps, because he played, I think it was 416. I'll see it again here in a second. But if you narrow it down to just at least 400 snaps, he becomes 46th out of 84 with that 63.6% or rather grade. So in comparison to the rest of the league, in terms of Pro Football Focus rushing grade, he was pretty average, not excellent, not bad, which is good for a rookie from a small school playing in a situational pass rushing role. Now, when you put him in the context of the class from which he was selected, and you put him up against fellow pass rushers in the 2018 draft, his 71.8 overall grade makes him the highest ranked of all of those that played at least 250 snaps, and he also ranked tied for 6th in pass rush grade. All of this while playing only the 9th most snaps out of that group of 15 rookies. Bear in mind, Davenport did miss 3 games with injury. The part of Davenport's game that came as a pleasant surprise in New Orleans, though, was his effectiveness in run defense. You can go back and you can listen to the first couple, like weeks 1 through 4, and you can listen to the first few Monday episodes of Locked On Saints where I'm recapping the game, and you can hear me talking about how shocked I am at his play as a run stopper, because everything about him before was he's a pass rusher, he's a pure pass rusher, he's a pure pass rusher. That's all that you ever really heard about him all together. So then he comes in and he knocks out this 77.1 run defense grade per Pro Football Focus, and it's the second best among all rookie edge defenders, regardless of number of snaps played. That also put him in the top 20 among all edge defenders, regardless of year drafted in the league, with at least 400 total defensive snaps, and also put him with the second best run stop percentage among rookies that played over 100 run defense snaps with a 7.5%. If you follow the Pro Football Focus Saints account on Twitter, you've probably seen this, but if you look at Davenport's rookie season as compared to Cam Jordan's, there's even more reason to be excited about what Davenport has the potential to become and looks like he is ready to do. Of course, we all know that Jordan only had 1 sack his rookie season, but let's look at total pressures and the PFF grade. So Davenport in 2018, who played 416 snaps, had a 71.8 overall grade, 77.1 run defense grade, 80.8 tackling grade, and a 63.6 pass rush grade, which amounted to 28 total pressures. 2011 Cam Jordan, who played more snaps, 576, had a 64.1 overall grade, so advantage Davenport there, 71.9 run defense grade, advantage Davenport again, 64.4 tackling grade, which was advantage to Cam Jordan, and then a 59.3 pass rush grade, advantage Davenport, with only 24 pressures as compared to Marcus Davenport's 28. Now, here are some more of this year's best edge rushers who Davenport compared well to in their first comparable years. So let's start with 2015 Jadeveon Clowney. Now, this is the year after, of course, his rookie season. He was injured, so he didn't get to play a lot. So this is his first sort of full year to where he played 559 snaps, pretty comparable. It's around that it's closer to his 416 range. It's pretty close to where Cam Jordan was in the 2011 comparison. Now, Jadeveon Clowney, had an 89.5 2018 grade. So now we're looking sort of into the past beyond this, where he is pretty close to elite in Pro Football Focus grades here, where he had a 77.8 overall grade. So that's advantage to Clowney. Most of these are advantage to Clowney. 86.5 run defense, 67.9 tackling though. So that goes over to Davenport. 64.5 pass rush grade, which actually is only 0.9 points better than Davenport there, and then 30 pressures as compared to Davenport's 28. Now, the next season after that, 2016, Jadeveon Clowney had 6 sacks total. Brandon Graham in 2010 played 472 snaps. This year in 2018, he had an 88.1 overall grade. In his rookie season, or that first season, 63.1 overall, 53.5 run defense, 75.1 tackling, and 70.0 pass rushing with 36 pressures. So most of that is advantage to Davenport as well. In his second season, well, the one after that, 2011, he was injured. He only played like 70 something snaps or something like that. So in 2012, when he played his next full season, he had 7 sacks that season. And then 2012, Olivier Vernon played 431 snaps. In 2018, he had an 86.3 overall grade. His grades were really poor his first year, 69.7 overall, 68.4 run defense, 75.8 tackling, not bad, 59.6 pass rushing with 21 pressures, but then his second season sack count was 11. So we can expect, you know, he might not get into double digits next season, depending on if the Saints stick with a situational, sort of a rotational piece at edge rusher, next year as well, to where, you know, Davenport still ends up splitting some time. But if he gets the snaps that he deserves his second year, or maybe even just waiting until his third year to give it to him, you can expect that he's going to see a leap in sacks. He might not get to double digits like Olivier Vernon did, but even going from, you know, 4.5 to 6 or 4.5 to 7 is great progression moving on through his sure to be really bright career. So far, so good in terms of what this looks like for the Saints making that big trade for the pass rusher in that 2018 draft. All right, so coming up next, we'll answer some questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which you can join by searching Locked On Saints group on Facebook. Go ahead and join that group so that you can be there for all the live events coming up throughout the offseason, like mock drafts and live Q&As. So right now, we'll be right back with those questions after this break. Thanks so much for being here and tuning into Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. We're taking a look now at some questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. If you want to get in there, just search Locked On Saints over on Facebook. And of course, you can always hit me up with questions on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC, and you can call the Locked On listener line as well at 504-229-4265 and leave a message to be heard here on the podcast as well. So let's jump into these. Tommy Howard wrote, who are some defensive line free agents that the Saints could go for? Well, there's a few. I wrote an article about it over at allsaintsconsidered.com that you can check out. But also, you can take a look at Jonathan Hankins out of Oakland, who the Saints could have signed last season but passed on. So I don't know if he's really that much of an option for them this time around. Muhammad Wilkerson has some potential as well. The Saints were really, really interested in him in 2018, but it just didn't work out. Suffered a season-ending ankle injury after he signed with the Packers. So if he returns to form from that, which could be difficult, it would at least make the signing for New Orleans really cheap. Mike Pinnell out of the New York Jets, probably one of my favorites. Not much of a pass rusher, but a really, really good run stuffer that just got released. I thought that he might go to Tampa Bay to reunite with Todd Bowles, his former head coach, now Tampa Bay defensive coordinator. But with him sticking with Gerald McCoy, I could see him sort of staying available and drawing some interest from New Orleans. Could also give the Saints some information on the defense that he worked with under Todd Bowles to help them out against Tampa Bay as well. And then, of course, the big name that's out there, Ndamukong Suh, who, you know, he's a possibility. The Saints were very, very interested in him last season, but I expect that his price tag and attitude might be a little bit too much to bet on for New Orleans. Chris McDonald asks, with the offense going stagnant in the second half of the year and the defense lifting, could we see a change in the Saints' play style to more of a defensive game style next year? Well, we've kind of already seen it. The Saints did go to a run-first offense finally after Sean Payton had been preaching it for years, but that doesn't mean that they didn't rely on the pass game, but they really sort of, you know, stayed true to their run game and their identity. They are grinding out those 20 play drives, 18 play drives, taking 10, 12 minutes off of the clock sometimes, things like that. You can look at the first Panthers game, the Dallas game, in which the defense at least kept them in it. The Ravens game was a big defensive game as well. There are lots of examples of the defense winning games for New Orleans either late or just completely outright. You could even credit, of course, you kind of have to credit the defense for tightening up and sealing the win against the Pittsburgh Steelers despite the score as well. However, while that's a strength and that will be a strength in their game next season, this is still New Orleans, Drew Brees, and Sean Payton we're talking about, with weapons like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and potentially also still Mark Ingram. The offense is going to reign supreme, but expect a little bit more of a maintainable approach next season, with new wrinkles being introduced throughout the year to help prolong the effectiveness of the offensive attack and then, you know, keeping it from burning out two-thirds of the way through the season like what happened in 2018. Our next question comes from John Hughes. With the Saints ranking number one 2 years in a row in fan game day experience, what additions, subtractions, upgrades do you see being done to continue to improve? I love this question. I love when we get questions that aren't necessarily about what's going on the field, that are just about like the Saints experience in general. So here's the thing. Saints games, always a blast. Champion Square, Benson Tower, the Saints Hall of Fame, several locations around to visit all around the dome. And then once you're in, there's music with local flair, not just the mainstream junk playing everywhere. Fantastic food and lots to do to keep you busy before enjoying a high quality football experience. The new Jumbotrons that went in the season before last, I believe, adds to the game day experience big time. And the content creators are always on point, capturing, you know, action on the sidelines, dancing, revving up the crowds, things like that, interacting with the crowd, and of course putting together fantastic video content like the bus pulling up in front of the Falcons introduction, to talk about the bus pulling up in front of the demolition of the Georgia Dome, things like that. But here's the thing that I think is going to be huge. The addition that I think that's really going to help take the next step is the partnership with Harrah's Casino, the official gambling partner of the New Orleans Saints. We already know that they're adding sort of a Saints fan zone into Harrah's, but the money that's going to come through this partnership is going to be contingent upon keeping the fans engaged with the gambling aspect of the game. So look to see how that starts to represent itself in the dome to make sure you're hitting up the casino before and after the game. That money is going to be huge for the fan experience and should lead to a lot of fun, considering how important that fan experience has always been to the ownership of the New Orleans Saints. All right, and our final question here comes from Gareth Crosby. Gareth is also an All Saints considered contributor, so shout out Gareth, thanks so much for being here. He asks, with free agency and the draft around the corner, who are some players that the Saints are targeting? Now, I know I've named a lot of targets and a lot of stuff, so I'll be sure not to bore those of you who have heard me soapboxing like every day for the past couple of weeks, but I think that a few players that the Saints are going to be looking for are going to be players that can fill positions of need and have additional value, such as wide receiver, who can be, you know, another option outside of Michael Thomas, whether that be in the slot or elsewhere, or can at least compete there, but then also has return ability, like say Deebo Samuel in the draft, or like John Sigler and I were talking about on Twitter this morning, making a trade for Jakeem Grant from Miami, an offensive lineman like Austin Howard, or Ty Nsekhe. I always feel bad about pronouncing his name wrong. Who can play multiple positions and bring the veteran presence can be helpful. Saints could target one of the many tight ends in the market as well, and could even look to get their hands on another slot option like Jamison Crowder or Cole Beasley, who can also play a little bit on the outside. Not a ton, but you know, you can move them around and they can be pieces that you can sort of play around with over on the offensive side of the ball to help keep that unpredictable. But I wouldn't be surprised to watch the Saints focus more, especially on free, and you know, in terms of free agency, focus more and maintaining their own sort of in-house people and before worrying too much about going out into the market, while of course doing their due diligence as Mickey Loomis has always been able to find a way to do. So there are a lot of options out there for them, but some of the ones that I think are going to be most quickly targeted are players that can serve multiple purposes. You know, we talked about, you know, Kurt Coleman's being released and Chris Banjo is going to free agency. So, you know, they need to sort of round out that safety position, but they don't necessarily need a new starter there at all, like Kurt Coleman was supposed to be with the way that Von Bell has stepped up. But they could go for somebody like Adrian Phillips, who can fill in, but then also has extraordinary special teams value. And then again, as I always talk about, having gunners like Adrian Phillips and Justin Hardy covering your punt team, well, you might as well just take a knee at the five and then call it a day. So, all right, everybody, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much. This one was a lot of fun. I appreciate all of the questions as usual. Make sure y'all come back through tomorrow. We're going to continue our position by position review. We're going to jump into linebackers next. And then, of course, we'll talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league. But for right now, I just want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And be sure to take some time to rate and review. It helps a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints or any of your favorite Locked On podcasts. And be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support in helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.